Good afternoon. The Committee on Ethics and Elections will now come to order. Ms. Voss, please call the roll.
Chair Baxley.
Here.
Senator Brannon. Senator Diaz. Senator Pasadomo. Senator Powell. Senator Rodriguez. Senator Stargell. Quorum present, Mr. Chair.
Okay, quorum is present. Please silence all electronic devices. Anyone wishing to speak before the committee, please complete an appearance form. Give it to the administrative assistant. Thank you for those that already have. Should you select the waive your speaking time, your position will be read into the record. First thing we'll take up is confirmation hearing for appointments. As we've done in the past, you will see on tabs 1 through 7 a group of individuals for Senate confirmation that have been researched by our committee staff who do our administrative role here. So unless a senator requests a separate vote on an individual appointee, we will take one vote on all the appointees. So, yes, sir? You're recognized.
Let's look through these names. Who is this for the Board of Trustees for Seminole State College? Robert Cortez.
I think it's under tab 4.
I got it. We're good.
Good.
It was a joke.
You're just trying to have some fun with me. I got it. Okay. Anybody else want to recognize or speak to what we're about to take up? I'm just giving you a minute to make sure you don't have any questions. Are there any questions regarding the appointees on tabs 1 through 7? Are there any appearance forms? Is there a motion to recommend confirmation? Senator, you're recognized.
I move Senator
Pasadomo.
I move confirmation of all 7. Okay. And Robert Cortez.
Oh, okay.
And your good friend, Robert Cortez.
Very good. A special friend. Thank you. Senator Pasadomo moves to recommend confirmation of all appointees on tabs 1 through 7. Ms. Voss, please call the roll.
Senator Diaz, Senator Pasadomo, Senator Powell, Senator Rodriguez, Senator Stargell, Senator Brannon, Chair Baxley.
Yes.
Favorable.
By your vote, confirmation of appointees on tabs 1 through 7 is recommended favorably. Now we will take up tab 8, presentation by Chris Anderson, the Executive Director of the Florida Commission of Ethics, on the implementation of Amendment 12. This is the lobbying and abuse of office by public officers. Mr. Anderson, we thank you for coming, and you are recognized to present to the committee. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chair Baxley. Members, I really appreciate the opportunity to be here, and thank you all. Really do appreciate it. I don't want to take up too much of your time because your staff has a lot of good materials in your packet, background on the amendment and things in writing. The amendment, of course, has several provisions in it, one of which was mainly of concern to the Commission on Ethics, which was the abuse of public position to obtain a disproportionate benefit. And, of course, this is sort of what I'd call an odd reality in that you have part of the law in the Constitution, part of the law in a rule by the Commission, and then, of course, the legislature to implement the penalty to complete the entire effect of the new standard. And to do our part at the Ethics Commission, we early on engaged the public and had a number of workshops. I think the earliest one was in December of last year. We had a lot of good participation. It made you feel good, really, to live in a democracy and an open society where you see people do get to have that input. And we had various drafts of the rule. And eventually, the commission in July approved particular language, and it went through the Administrative Procedure Act rulemaking process and was adopted on September the 30th, which was one day before the constitutional deadline for adoption, which was October the 1st. And our rule number is 34-18.001. And the rule establishes criteria for helping determine what is a disproportionate benefit, as well as establishing the mental state or the intent for violating the constitutional standard. And the Commission on Ethics felt that when you're using the word abuse, you need to have somebody acting in a corrupt manner, inconsistent with the proper performance of their public duty, not merely accidentally slipping into a violation. That abuse is akin to misuse and that sort of thing. And really, you have to couple the two things together to have a violation. You have to have both an abusive position that results in a benefit that is disproportionate. A disproportionate benefit alone won't violate the standard, nor will an abuse alone without a disproportionate benefit. But anyway, it took a lot of time and a lot of wording to get to our rule, but we think it's a good one, and we're looking forward to the legislature adopting a penalty, and I think that the way that you're proposing it is a good way to do it, that is reenacting the general penalty provision in 112.317. If you have any questions, I'll try to answer them. And again, I really do appreciate the opportunity and appreciate all of your work. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Are there any questions for Mr. Anderson? You recognize Representative Rodriguez for a question. Representative.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for your presentation. I just want to clarify the, you mentioned this sort of peculiarity of how this, basically this ethics rule, the prohibition is in the Constitution. The definition of disproportionate benefit is in rule now. And what we're doing today is we're enacting the penalty by statute. Is that right?
Through the chair, if I might.
Yes, you're recognized, sir.
Thank you, sir. In response to that, you have the Constitution prescribing an abuse of public position prohibition, and then a specific thing in that amendment for the Ethics Commission to define by rule what is a disproportionate benefit, and also to then prescribe the requisite mental state or intent for violation. And then finally, the icing on the cake or the finality of the standard would be the legislature enacting a penalty for it. I don't think, of course, that this committee would be enacting the penalty today, but that will be happening through legislation, through the regular process, to be effective, my understanding, on 31 December of 2020. But it's, you know, normally you see it just a statute or you see, like, say, other parts of this Amendment 12 that are self-effectuating or don't have a role for the Commission on Ethics. But it seemed to me to be, you know, not the ordinary thing where you would have a standard part the will of the voters under CRC language, part language then to be developed by the Ethics Commission, and then finally for the legislature to enact the penalty. And I don't see anything wrong with that. It's just something I don't think you see every day. But that is correct, that it is a threefold thing, the Constitution, the Commission's role, and then the role of the legislature in prescribing a penalty.
Any other questions?
Sure. Yeah.
For follow-up, you're
just a few follow-ups. And for clarity purposes, we are initiating the statutory process today because we're considering, aren't we, don't we have on the agenda? Yeah, okay, gotcha.
That's, I believe you're correct, and we've got an expert right here at my shoulder.
Okay, so good.
So she's done it all in this arena, so that's good.
I did have another question. With respect to what we're doing today, which is taking our existing penalties statute and effectively adopting that for purposes of Amendment 12, What are the other options that we had, you know, looking at how maybe other states do it or maybe, you know, just based on your vantage point expertise, what are some of the other options that we have? And this could be for you or maybe the chair or staff. Just
you're,
out of curiosity.
Recognize for
thank you, Chair.
You want
thank you, Chair Bashley. In Florida, I think one of the good things about our scheme is that the penalties that the Ethics Commission administers for the existing standards and which it will administer also for this new standard if the method that you seem to be pursuing for a penalty comes to fruition is that you do have a comprehensive penalty statute in 112 Part 3 that has always, since the mid-70s, I believe, read that the possible penalties for a violation of Article 2, Section 8, which is the constitutional provision that this new standard has become a part of, as well as penalties for violations of Part 3, Chapter 112, which is the Code of Ethics, they've always been under that one penalty statute, 112.317. And that's a kind of a comprehensive approach, and it centralizes things and makes it uniform, and it's also coupled with who penalty recommendations go to for certain officials when the Commission on Ethics finishes its work. And it's a well-integrated scheme, and it seems like that it's better to add this new standard into that well-integrated, well-functioning scheme than to have it just as an outlier standing alone. There are things in Florida statutes that are of an ethics nature that do have separate type mechanisms. They're not comprehensively under 112.317. Around the country and around localities in Florida that have local ethics standards, you have a variance of mechanisms, but I can't really think of a better way to do it than to reenact 112.317 in this context.
Larry, further questions? Senator Rodriguez, go ahead.
Chair, thank you. And just one last question, which is that I just want to part of the question is clarifying my understanding, and then just asking you to help us put two things in context, which is the Constitution deals with the abuse of office and with a disproportionate benefit. Our Senate rules deal with a narrower set of context, theoretically voting conflicts and those sort of things, and a what I would think is maybe a narrower standard, which is special private gain. Could you kind of help put those two standards next to each other, just so we understand what the implications may or may not be for us here in the legislature?
Mr. Anderson.
Rules.
Thank you, Chair Baxley.
You're right.
Thank you, Chair. On that, the special private gain or loss, that phrase, which appears in rules and also appears in the voting conflict statute in the Code of Ethics, is part of what the Commission looked to when it was deciding to define or how to define disproportionate benefit for purposes of the new standard. In the voting conflict law in 112.3143 Florida statutes, where the term special private gain or loss appears and has a definition, statutorily that is defined there only to be an economic effect, an economic gain or loss. But with this rule, it's not limited to something merely economic, that the new constitutional standard could be some sort of a disproportionate benefit that typically probably would be economic, but is not necessarily limited to that. And it may be that your rule of your chamber is broader than just things economic. But there is overlap between the notion of special private gain and disproportionate benefit, but they're not identical.
Further questions? Senator Powell, you recognize?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to go back into the line of questioning from Representative Rodriguez, the idea.
Bob Cortez is the representative.
I'm sorry. Senator Rodriguez, is that the right? In any case, this idea of disproportionate benefit and the definition, it appears it's not a concise definition, and it still is a broad definition, but we have an outline in section or the Florida statutes 112.317 in terms of penalties. We've outlined the penalties, but we've still got a broad definition of what this means. How can I have a better understanding of or be better able to support this when I see the penalties are detailed and outlined, but this idea of disproportionate benefit is not really clear?
Mr. Anderson, you can respond to that.
Thank you, Chair Baxley. Senator, we worked very hard, the Commission on Ethics did, to have specificity in our rule. And it does have a lot of things in there that go to the notion of disproportionate, that is being different from other people, and some qualitative difference there, some degree difference. And it's, I think, every bit as specific as the criteria under the voting conflict law that is statutory, that has worked for years in determining what special private gain or loss is. And you can't really, in a common law-based system like we have in the U.S., specify every particular thing down to a very fine point, like, say, you would have in a Napoleonic code-based legal system where everything is codified, that everywhere could be possible under the sun. There has to be some limitation on the amount of language that's used, and even if it's not as verbose or as detailed possibly as some other statutes, the commission felt that this rule, which they enacted, is sufficiently detailed enough to give a person guidance as to what would be a disproportionate benefit. But overriding all of this is the reality that, and the legality that, even if you have beyond a shadow of a doubt a disproportionate benefit that occurs because of an official's activity or lack of activity, they still would have to have abused their public position in order to obtain that disproportionate benefit. It's not like, for instance, if you're talking about special districts and those types of governmental entities that by design are intended to often convey some sort of unequal benefit to the landowner or people that stand in relation to the governance of the district other than the average homeowner. When you follow those types of processes under Chapter 189, Chapter 190, laws that govern those kinds of districts, you're often going to have a disproportionate effect. But if it's in league with what those statutes require and allow, and there's no otherwise abusive activity like taking a bribe or something in connection with it, then you won't have a violation, even if your benefit is undoubtedly disproportionate, as long as you don't abuse your position to get it.
Any other questions? Thank you. Does anyone else have questions? Seeing no more questions, is there any discussion? Thank you very much, Mr. Anderson, for presenting.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Take up tab 9, SPB 7006 by Ethics and Elections, relating to penalties for violations of the constitutional prohibition against abuse of public position. I'm going to ask our staff director, Don Roberts, to please be recognized to explain this proposed SBB.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Mr. Anderson has described it quite well. Amendment 12 provides that the abuse of public position prohibition will take effect on December 31st, 2020. The commission has satisfied their requirement to adopt the rule defining the term disproportionate benefit and the requisite intent, and now it is the legislature's responsibility to provide for the appropriate penalties. We reviewed the current statutory section on penalties. As Mr. Anderson indicated, it's been in place since the 70s. It's very comprehensive. Depending on the person who is at the issue of the complaint and the findings, the penalties can range anywhere from impeachment, termination of employment, reduction in salary, demotion. So we, in working with our House counterparts, we didn't feel that it was necessary to come up with new penalties, as this statutory scheme has worked very well in the state of Florida. And so what this proposed committee bill would do is simply reenact Section 112.317 so that it effective December 31st, 2020, so that those statutory available penalties would then apply to the new constitutional prohibition. And that's the bill.
Thank you. Are there any questions on the proposed bill? Seeing no questions, are there any appearance forms? Okay. Is there any debate on the proposed bill? All right, sir. Mr. Senator Powell, you are recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The concern I have is with the explanation with regard to the bill. I understood the explanation to mean that if someone is knowingly or actively trying to permit this abuse of power, then that's when they can be prosecuted, or then they can be, they would fall under these penalties if they're knowingly and willingly. The idea is that we live in a country where we talk about capital punishment. The idea is that the people who have the capital usually don't receive the punishment. The problem with this bill and the explanation that was given earlier was that the idea is still, although it's broad, is still rather subjective based on the person who has the intent or the belief of the persons who are prosecuting. It gives me consternation to vote in favor of these increased penalties, knowing that all people and all things are not created equally when looking at who is committed or who is being determined to have made these mistakes or these issues. In essence, I'll support it today, but I still support it with the idea or the consternation that it's still, you know, rather broad, but still subjective. So that's in a nutshell still my concern. I've had the opportunity to read it, and I support it. I think that we want to move forward in terms of being ethical, but there's still some concerns from where I sit.
Thank you. Senator Powell, I would like to ask Don Roberts to please elaborate a little bit, as you've well articulated your concern, just so that you have it addressed in addition to, I mean, whatever your vote is, your vote, but I want to give every opportunity to give you full info and feedback, and thank you for articulating your primary concern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to be clear, we aren't increasing any penalties in this proposed committee bill. We're not adding any penalties. We're not removing any penalties. We are simply reenacting the statutory section that imposes penalties. And I think it's also important to remember that even if it got to that point under this new disproportionate benefit rule, the commission would only be recommending penalties. It would ultimately be up to the appropriate official, whether it's an agency head, whether it's the governor, whether it's the Senate president, the Speaker of the House, or a county commission. It would be ultimately up to that body to decide what the appropriate penalty would be.
Thank you very much to adding to the information on that. Is there any other debate on the proposed bill? Okay. Senator Diaz moves that SPB 7006 be submitted as a committee bill. Seeing no objection, Ms. Voss, please call the roll on SPB 7006.
Senator Diaz? Senator Pasadena? Senator Powell? Senator Rodriguez? Senator Stargell? Senator Brannon? Yes. Chair Baxley?
Yes. Okay. By your vote, SPB 7006 is favorably reported as a committee bill. Senator Diaz wishes to make a motion to vote yes on executive appointments tabs 1 through 7. Your vote can be recorded. Senator Brannon he would like to do the same. So we'll make that part of the record, and your votes are recorded for those previous votes in the session. Is there any other business before the committee? Senator Diaz moves we adjourn. Without objection, seeing none, show the motion adopted. We are adjourned. Thank you.